Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is our Transfer Insight show and I'm joined today by Goals' Neil Jones. Neil, in the studio, thank you very much for coming down. I know it's a bit of a trek for you.
I know, Insight as well, you know...
We named the show after you. Neil Inside Jones,
isn't it? Neil Inside Jones. God, I've never been called that before.
Don't get that on the rafting.
No, absolutely not.
Listen, before we get into it, and we'll obviously come to comments and stuff later on in the show if we've got time, we want to talk about some of the rumours and stuff, but I just want to know first, mate, is there anyone that you know Liverpool have got a genuine interest in?
Yeah, there's plenty of players. I mean, look, as much as what people... I can see why people think it, and there are a lot of sort of red herrings in the media world. But most of the stories do have an element of truth in them, whether it's Liverpool have looked at a player, whether they've spoken to an agent, whether they've been offered by an agent, whether they've, you know, sort of had a little sniff with the club and just said, what's the situation, what's the valuation? So a lot of the names that you hear, there will be something in every single one of them, you know, whether it's Mbappe, whether it's... you know, a guy that you've never heard of from the Swiss second division, whether it's Ben Davis, you know, in January, there will always be some sort of link there. It's just ascertaining which of the links that are going to be followed up on and you know, become concrete bids or interest or, in the end, obviously signing. So a lot of those players, you know, I'm sure we'll run through some of them, but, you know, Bissouma... yeah, there's interest in him in the sense of there's Liverpool like the player and believe that he's probably at a fee that if other avenues maybe didn't come about, then he'd be a doable signing or transfer, sorry. John McGinn, it was quite widely reported that a lot of the players were quite impressed by him. He's obviously got, you know, a good friend of the club in Robertson. I think Jürgen Klopp sort of admires him. I think has spoken publicly about what a good player he is. Ollie Watkins is another one, probably of the same ilk. I think he caught a lot of eyes playing for Villa last season and certainly among Jürgen Klopp's coaching staff. You look at Neuhaus, who's probably one that fits into the bill where there's a release clause there, so that sort of pricks people's interest in these times when you know, okay, well, the fee is going to be sort of that. We'll look at that. So those players that you see linked... and, you know, you think back to Kanate would be another one. Before that was Kabak, wasn't it? And Kaleta Sarr, from Marseille. They were all players that Liverpool were interested in. But the thing is that being interested in a player, you might have 10 players on the shortlist and it might literally be a case of we sniff around 6 or 7 of them, see which one's be more likely. But in the end, the one that you go for is the 8th one because, you know, it's sort of the other 7 are not doable for whatever reason, whether it's the club doesn't want to sell, whether it's the price is too high, whether it's the players not that keen. So it's very hard to ascertain which are the ones that are going to be followed up on. But the players that Liverpool are interested in, a lot of them are out there and a lot of them aren't out there as well. But a lot of the players that Liverpool have got, tabs on, if you like, are already in the public domain.
Okay, well, let's start with Bissouma then. I think that's a really interesting one. Obviously, we know how good a player he is. We've seen him in the league now for a while. We can understand how he'd fit into that system. We understand there's probably a space in the squad for him with Wijnaldum going. Do you think anything's going to come from the genuine interest in Bissouma?
I wouldn't be amazed if it did. I would probably say... I would have expected it maybe to have been acted upon by now, if it was going to be. But then we've seen in the past, I mean, I think of a good example would be someone like Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, where I think it was quite obvious that there was interest in there, but Oxlade-Chamberlain sort of happened right at the end of the window.
Yeah,
when,
it was like the day before.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
window,
I think it was like pretty much the Thomas Lamar sort of situation, wasn't it? Where, you know, if Liverpool ideally probably would have got Thomas Lamar, and when it became clear that they're not, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain became the sort of target number one. Maybe there's a case to that with Bissouma, that the feeling is that he probably will be allowed to move by Brighton, so there's no, maybe there's no great rush to get him out of Brighton. There's no sort of clauses or new contracts going on there. Brighton are sort of, I think, will be quite accepting of him if he wanted to leave this summer. The price isn't going to be flying up and up and up. He's not playing in a major tournament, for example, at the moment, so he's not, you know, you're not losing money by leaving it a week or two, and maybe there's other avenues being explored first. But yeah, I think it would amaze me if Liverpool came in for Bissouma at some point this summer. But I wouldn't. It's not one that's saying, oh yeah, you know, they're gonna sign.
Chances of it getting done out of 10.
Yeah, six, five and a half, six out of 10. Yeah, you know, I probably as likely as not.
Does this work like player ratings? So yeah, if he's half a mark out, are you going to go absolutely mad at him?
Yeah.
It should have been a 6.5.
Yeah,
what are you doing, Neil?
Yeah. What game were you watching? What market were you watching? Yeah, that's the one, isn't it? But yeah, no, I would say there's a fair chance of Liverpool certainly following up on that interest. I know they like him as a player. Maybe there's maybe a doubt over how big the step up is from Brighton to Liverpool. It is a big step. I know others have made it quite successfully. Wijnaldum being a decent example probably of that, but yeah, I think there's genuine interest there.
Well, if we take the players that we're interested in out of it, is it a squad player you think Liverpool are looking for, and will that there? No, you think they're looking for a first teamer?
Yeah, well, yeah, all players are squad players, but it's not a backup player that they're looking for. It's a player who can compete to start games, and I know that's a bit of a fudged explanation, but it's not. They're not looking for someone to play the League Cup, and to, you know, when everyone else is injured, to come in, you know, don't want to. But like a Ben Davis was sort of that, was like, I mean, he was a bit of an emergency effort, but it was one of them that when you know, they know when everyone's fit, Ben Davis is not going to play for Liverpool. You know, he hasn't played for Liverpool when everyone wasn't fit, unfortunately for him. But it's someone who's capable of coming in, starting if needed, but also being able to make an impact as part of the squad. A little bit like Konaté, I suppose. You know, Konaté, touch and go probably whether he starts the season as the first choice. Mm-hmm. I think he might have a chance just because of the amount of time off that these other three centre-backs have had. So they might want the guy who's, you know, coming in without a serious injury from last season. But he's one of them. You know, Konaté will hopefully and probably be a first-teamer in the next 2 or 3 years. But he can also be a first teamer this year as well, and a regular starter. So I think you're looking at something like that in the midfield, where it's, you know, it's someone who, okay, yeah, they might start the season on the bench, but by October, when Jordan Henderson's got a niggle or Fabinho's got a niggle, they're in the side and starting games regularly.
Okay, I want to come on to Domenico Berardi, £50 million linked. It's actually, I think it's on the Echo, but it comes through Gazzetta dello Sport, or Dello Sport. Have you heard anything about this one, winger forward player?
No, well, I have heard about winger forward player. I haven't heard Berardi specifically as a player, and it doesn't ring true to me. You do get, you know, listen, you're not always right, but I think fans are like that as well. You can get a bit of a sense of what, you know. Does that make sense or not? You know, so when you hear Jota, for example, last summer, you go, yeah, fits the bill. Berardi, been around a while, hasn't he? Italian league, a lot of money, that £50 million. And I think it would, maybe it wouldn't actually be 50 million, but it would be a good amount. Someone at a tournament this summer, so there is opportunity for him to really, really ignite his transfer fee by scoring two, three more goals in the Euros. Doesn't fit the bill on the face of it, so I haven't heard that, but I think Liverpool ideally, in an ideal world, will be bringing in a forward, because you look at the players that they're looking to get rid of, or they're open to get rid of, you know, Harry Wilson, Divock Origi, Shaqiri, Minamino, potentially. You can't get rid of all of them, you know, and I don't think they will get rid of all of those players. They'll probably get rid of three, at least. but then you're looking light on forward options. And as much as, you know, Liverpool might try and sell it as Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain can play in there, I don't personally see that, or haven't seen that in the last 12 months or more. So I think they would be light on forwards. And
is 50 million where you think Liverpool would, if they have 50 million, would you think they put it as a basically, he plays where Mo Salah plays for the most part, doesn't he? I can't imagine of spending 50 million on a lad who sits behind Mo Salah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at the player they did buy who plays on that position. Jadon Shaqiri was, what, 12 and a bit million on a release clause. You look at players who've moved since. So Sancho's moved, obviously, or moving at the moment, plays down the right-hand side. You look at Pulisic, who then, when Liverpool were admirers of him as a player, but the logic was 65, 70 million pounds on a player who doesn't automatically start is a bit much. Jota was a little bit less than that, and the deal was structured a bit differently, but also he came in as someone who could play in all three of those forward positions, and I think that's what you'll find with Liverpool. My personal feeling is they'll buy someone who is either a number nine who you could stick out wide if you need a bit of Origi. You know, Origi's a bit like that, isn't he? I know people don't, you know, feel he's done a great job in the last year or so, but you could play Origi off the left, or you could play him in the centre, or it'll be a Jota player who's sort of, you know, you can move the pieces around of him, Mane, Salah, Jota. Yeah, you can put Mane through the middle, you can put Salah through the middle, and you can move it around. So I don't think it'll be like a sort of a standard number nine. I don't think it'll be an out and out right winger or an out and out left winger. It'll be a
think Harvey Elliott's got something to say in all of this, or maybe his progression. Himself.
I mean, listen, it's hard to do it because I'm sure there'll be guys watching now going, oh, please don't start saying Harvey Elliott's going to come in and be the new signing that Liverpool have craved. But he's a very good player. And, you know, if he wasn't at Liverpool and Liverpool were interested in signing him, I think there'd be quite a bit of, that could be a nice little pickup. And he's had a good season at Blackburn. He ended it, it was mixed. You know, he obviously, it's his first real full season of playing a lot of games. So you do tire and you end up, you know, your inconsistencies start to show because you're 17 and 18 years of age. He's so young, it's absurd. Harvey Elliott, like, you know, every time you look at his date of birth, you sort of think, oh my goodness, like, where's my life gone?
You could have been your dad, mate.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can remember the games I was watching before you were born, and they don't feel like that long ago to me. You know, like I can still remember those goals and teams, and that still feels like 5 years.
I think I remember them better than
last season, probably. But he's a very good player, and he's got a game that I think can give him a chance of being successful at a very high level. Liverpool is a very high level. It's going to be tough for him because he plays in Mo Salah's position. He plays pretty much off the right, coming in on his left foot. So that is difficult. You're not going to get Harvey Elliott in a rotation with Mo Salah. It's not going to happen. It's going to be sort of bits and bobs. And I don't know whether that'll be enough for him and for the club, for his development. So it wouldn't amaze me if he was loaned out again, maybe to the Premier League. But he's going to be there in pre-season. He's going to have a chance to shine. And, you know, it's down to him really to show that. What has he learned on loan at Blackburn? You know, because I spoke to a lot of people at Blackburn who are amazed at how good a player he is and how much talent he's got. Stuart Downing told me, he said, when you get a young lad and they're skillful and talented, he said, they want to show it all the time. And he said, Harvey just wants to play the game the right way. So he says, you know, if it's a 5-yard pass and he's playing, then it's great. If it's a chip over the top, it's great. You know, he said he's just got this decision making about him, which young players
that's mad. That isn't necessarily even have. Like, you think of some of the best players the world's ever seen, Cristiano Ronaldo. He wanted exactly what you're saying. He wanted to show off when he was younger, and then he came all about business, all about the results and all that type of stuff. So if he's being talked of in that way at such an early age, it bodes really well, doesn't it?
And it's also not to say that he's not racking up any numbers either, you know. So he's, by doing that, by playing that way, he's still setting goals up, he's still scoring goals, he's still progressing and becoming a better player every single time you watch him. And I think he's got massive talent. Don't want to put too much on him in terms of the answer for Liverpool, but, you know, if you're talking about young players and talented young players, and we're all very excited about a few of these English young players, you know, who are knocking around Bellingham and people like that. I think you have to put Harvey Elliott in that equation, and once he starts playing Premier League football, I think a lot more people will be, you know, sitting up and taking notice of him.
Okay, we'll move on to the next one. It's Florian Neuhaus now. The Kop Council says, is Florian Neuhaus the number one target?
No, I wouldn't say he's the number one target. He's someone who's been looked at, and I think the reason would be down to the release clause that was in his contract. And again, that sort of, that surety that that offers, that you know, and Canate, another good example of that, really. That surety of, you know, that you're not going to sort of get involved in some six-month debate over the price, you know, there's an option there. The info I've got is that he has been looked at closely, that it's...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It wouldn't be a great surprise if it was acted upon, but at the moment, it's sort of, there's other targets that are being considered as strongly or more strongly than he is at the moment. But he's an interesting player. Obviously, we didn't see too much of him in the summer with Germany, but he's had a good couple of seasons with Gladbach. Good age. I mean, I don't know if you read the piece on The Athletic. I'm sure a lot of people will have subscribed to that and read that, but decent sort of look at the type of player he is and the statistical markers that sort of fit the bill with what Liverpool tended to sign. I don't think he's a direct replacement to Wijnaldum, for example. I think Bissouma is probably closer to that in terms of style. But he's certainly someone who, when you look at the way he plays and the sort of the impact of that he has when he plays, you could see him fit in Liverpool. But I think it's also important to stress that while we're talking about midfielders, and I do believe Liverpool need a midfielder, they still have a lot of midfielders at the club.
Yeah.
They still do. And you know, stranger things have happened than Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita staying fit. Or Curtis Jones just sort of going and banging up a level like he has done in the last couple of seasons. But I think the other thing to consider is you might just see Liverpool maybe recalibrating the way they play. Obviously, Thiago's going to be hopefully on the side from the whole season. The first choice midfield when everyone was available last season didn't have Gini Wijnaldum in it.
It was one game,
Everton, yeah. Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago. It looked really good. So Liverpool, you could say Liverpool were already starting to evolve past that Wijnaldum thing. So when we're talking about he's not a direct replacement for Wijnaldum, it might not be what Liverpool are looking for. Might be looking for a someone who can be Keita but fit, or Oxlade-Chamberlain but fit, or, you know, Henderson but younger, you know,
when you look at the Klopp's two biggest midfield signings over the last few years, you've got Naby Keita, first of all, you've got Thiago. What when you're doing your reading and your research on those players and not just the watching of the games, it's the progression, the ball forwards.
Yeah.
That's what the two of them did much more than like a Genie Wijnaldum and stuff like that. So I think you're right. I think that was always the evolution of Liverpool's midfield. So it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't a direct replacement. It might be a direct replacement. It might not be even a direct replacement for those 51 games.
Yeah.
But it certainly might not be the style that we played as well. So interesting.
And you throw in Firmino as well. So you sort of, the Firmino question is obviously going to be posed a lot, and it's, a lot of eyes will be on him when the season starts, and to see how, you know, it was that a declining season, or was it just a poor season? Mane probably a little bit the same, but if you've got a different player like than Firmino, then your midfield probably is going to have to be different, because he's so central to the way the team plays in his press and then in the positions he takes up, that you might need different. You can't have three midfielders behind the ball and Firmino dropping deep and deep. Yeah. You know, you're going to have a little bit more dynamism and, I don't know, unpredictability from your midfield.
And that's what you definitely get with Naby Keita every time he's on the ball. When he plays well, and he's completely unpredictable. I've got a super chat here from Mark Cox. Thank you so much, Mark. I'll take this one myself, Neil, rather than you, because I don't want to throw you under the bus on this one. Do you think we're letting FSG off too easy to have decent cover for anyone? You've got to spend 40, 50 million, surely, always going for the cheap option. Mark, for me, and I will just talk for myself, there's one team in world football that's done that and had backup options that are 40, 50 million quid, and that's Manchester City. I don't see any other side really that's able to do that. I think, you know, FSG, for all the abuse that they get, they have had and won a lot of trophies at Liverpool Football Club, and they've done it their way. And I've actually enjoyed the fact that Liverpool have gone out and done it differently and have gone and broke the mould, as it were. We're not just throwing money after money. Don't get me wrong, I'd love them to be billionaires, but sometimes it's better the devil you know. Now, obviously, with the Super League and stuff, they obviously, for me anyway, went down a few pegs. But for what they do and how they put money into this football club and into this side and build in the right way, I personally don't think they can really be criticised too much. It's the off-field stuff that I feel that they get wrong more than the on-field stuff.
Well, the other thing is they do have some 40, 50 million pound backups.
They're just fucking injured.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you look at, they're not maybe 40, 50 million pound signings, but Joe Gomez and Joel Matip, two of those, and Konate, sorry, two of those three are going to be on the bench next season or not in the starting lineup. So you have got high class players potentially there. The problem is that they're not necessarily there enough during the course of the season. Keita the same, Oxlade-Chamberlain the same. You look at the four forwards, one of those who misses out is either a 40, well, they're all pretty 30 to 40 million pound signings, Jota, Firmino, Mane, Salah. The issue comes, I think, from, is it in Liverpool's interest to have two players that you literally can't pick between to play centre forward or right back or whatever? And I think possibly a little bit of it's down to Klopp, in the sense that I don't think he particularly wants that.
Likes small squad, he's always said that, hasn't he?
He quite likes that idea. I think he quite likes that continuity of the way we play is this. And, you know, you look at the players he values above all others, really. People like Robertson, people like Firmino, Wijnaldum in the past, who, you know, you can bank on them. They are going to be there and they're going to play. So it's difficult. I completely understand the question, and I completely understand the desire to just buy everyone and just put them in the squad, and it'll work out some way or the other. But it isn't going to happen under FSG, or it's very unlikely to happen under FSG. They operate a different way, and, you know, as much as it frustrates people, it's quite difficult, I think, to be too frustrated about it, because they've shown their hand numerous times that that's the way they're going to do it. And most of the time, well, in the last six, seven years, most of the time it's paid off.
Yeah, it absolutely has. Okay, we'll go to some of the rumours really quickly then. Renato Sanchez, still four games into, I know he's been playing for Lille, he's been doing really well and won league title and all that type of stuff, but he's really been in everybody's eyes after four games. Can you imagine Liverpool are interested in him? And second question, follow up, will Liverpool spend that much on a lad that doesn't get into the first team?
Yeah.
Straight away.
Possibly, yeah. I suppose, where does he fit in the sense of Liverpool? Salah would be a good example of someone who had the high profile move and it didn't work out for them. And then there was the thing of, you know, a couple of years later, Mo Salah's back on the agenda and it's like, hang on, we remember Chelsea, sort of that flop. There'll be a lot of people still burnt by the fact that Renato Sanchez was the boy wonder who went to Bayern Munich and whatever happened to him, and then all of a sudden he's had this renaissance. So there is, I think there is some sort of comparison to be made there. I'm not 100% sold on him as being someone Liverpool would go all in on as a signing, you know. And I look at probably Keita would be a good sort of example of that. You know, he's a very unique type of midfield player. He's brilliant talent, you know, elite talent. But you're asking, I think you need to build around him, but you also need to know that he's going to be there for at a certain level, probably from the word go. Liverpool thought they were getting that with Keita. It hasn't really worked out for him. I think maybe Renato might be a gamble that they feel does it need taking at this point in time when you've got Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago. You know, maybe he has another season like at Lille. You know, I know it's going to be difficult for them. They're probably going to, well, they've lost the coach, they're going to lose players, they've already lost some. Maybe he moves on himself this summer. I'm not sure Liverpool would have seen enough to say that's the one for us.
And if they were, it wouldn't be after the Euros, it would have been.
Yeah, I mean, he's brilliant, season. Wasn't he? He was brilliant. He's a brilliant player.
And he reminds me so much of Gini, the way he uses his arse and his body and like takes that ball from that defensive midfielder position and just runs with it forwards. That's when Gini's at an absolute best, wasn't he, for us?
He seems to love that, the big stage as well. Yeah. Probably that maybe explains why he didn't do so well at Swansea, that maybe it was a bit sort of an adaptation period. And that's another thing that, I read a couple of pieces about him around the Euros, and some of the things you read about him from the Swansea time, I just wonder, you'd hope that that's taken out of his, you know, that's just part of his maturity, but it didn't seem very Liverpool. You know, the things like, I think he was getting treatment with his headphones on from the physio and not making any attempt to say good morning to players and ingratiate himself into the club. It was like he was just passing through, and, you know, maybe he's changed, maybe he's matured, as I say, but I think Liverpool have got a certain type of character that they go for, and I'm not 100% sure it's him, but, you know,
okay.
I don't know.
One more player then that we've been heavily linked with in loads of unreliable places, I suppose, but Otavio. Is there any interest there with Liverpool?
I'm told not. It was a Portuguese, it was Abola, wasn't it? Yeah, who linked it. And again, to be honest, it was one of them where you sort of see it and you see the detail behind it and you see the Gruitch angle and you see, you know,
where he plays and all of those positions up front.
The level he's been playing at, and you think, where would Liverpool buy players from? Yeah, potentially at Porto would be certainly a club that, you know, generally Liverpool, apart from Thiago, haven't bought from the top tier clubs. They've bought from Monaco and Roma and Wolves and wherever else. You know, Southampton, famously, for a number of years. But I'm told it's not on the cards, and there's often a lot of talk about swap deals, isn't there? And I think that
just comes, never happens.
It very rarely happens, does it? Like, you know,
agent fees, mate.
Yeah. It seems like too many moving parts for a deal like that to get done. Knowing from speaking to a lot of agents and football administrators, getting a transfer done is hard, and when you've got two on the boil at the same time, you've got two lots of agent fees, you've got two lots of image rights, you've got two lots of players wanting X, Y, Z, you've got clubs wanting to knock a little bit off that because of this, and there's too many things that can sort of get in the way. But I think Gruitch will be sold this summer if they can. I know I actually spoke to him quite recently. As it stands, he's still reporting back for pre-season at Liverpool, which he's used to doing. But I think he is in the understanding that this is the summer where I'm probably going to have to move on and say goodbye permanently. And from Liverpool's perspective, I think probably him and Wilson have gone over the precipice of it being worth their while to be loaned again. I think Liverpool just need to say, well, look, that's that done and
that's
dusted.
Now, I'll tell you what, one final thing is not on a player. We don't need to go into this too much, but have you heard anything about, so many times during the summers, you hear about a war chest and the amount that Liverpool have got to spend.
Yeah.
Do you think it's one of those things that Liverpool have just shut up shop on? Where they've got, and because they've been saying for ages it's sell to buy, but there's always been a figure attached to 40 million to spend. I've heard nothing this season.
Yeah, well, I don't,
it's clever if that's what's happening.
Yeah, I don't think there's much business sense labelling that, you know, and then you've got people sort of doing the ticket and saying, oh God, that's that much out of the budget. You know, so, to be honest, I think that's possibly a bit of a tabloid construct anyway, you know, in the sense of, I mean, it used to be 30 million. I always remember it being Liverpool. It was like, you know, Liverpool are going to spend 30 million net sort of this summer. And that was like, that would have been in the Benitez sort of days, wasn't it?
It was 20 till Torres came in.
Yeah.
And then it went up a bit.
Yeah. But I think a lot depends. You know, again, you're so much sell to buy. Every club's a bit sell to buy, apart from the main ones. You know, even you look at even the money Chelsea have spent, they've made an awful lot of money back, and they tend to make an awful lot of money back. They have a great loan system, which has paid fruit bore fruit for them. They sold players like Morata and Hazard at big money. Courtois went for big money. Even like getting, you know, you look at some of the players that they've got off the wage bill in David Luiz and people like that, Matic, who were big earners. So Diego Costa. So every club has that balancing act of the players that the player transfer and wages accounts. But I think Liverpool's is a little bit more uncertain because some of the players they're trying to get rid of.
They've been trying to get rid of,
and they probably if they were going to set a war chest last summer, they probably could have said, yeah, 15, 20 million, Harry Wilson, lovely. We'll act that goes in the war chest. And all of a sudden, that was just taken from under them. And they ended up having to loan them out and getting a couple of million from Cardiff or a million and a half from Cardiff. But I think this summer, there's a bit more confidence that you are going to be able to offload some of these players. Maybe not for the same fee, but you're still burned by the fact that it might just get to August the 29th and Shaqiri's still there, wants to leave, but you can't. You sort of think, oh, God, you know, are we going to keep him around and have him in the squad, or are we going to loan him out? And they're the questions. And, you know, in any time, but in a pandemic time, losing out on, let's say Wilson, Gruitch and Ojo, 40 million for the three of those in total before the pandemic, losing out on that from you is going to impact you no matter what.
You know. Absolutely. I'll leave you with this then. Thelsey Eddy says, in the 30 years of supporting Liverpool, we've never had a war chest.
I've never seen a war chest. I have to say, I've never seen a war chest. I can imagine what one looks like.
Virgil van
Dijk. I don't think it's in Jürgen's office, put it that way.
No, yeah, probably not. Neil, thank you so much for joining us. Genuine transfer insight. Hopefully see you again soon for this one. We'd like to make it a regular thing. Thank you very much for watching live. Don't forget to check out threadsforreds.com. Some excellent Liverpool merchandise from my mates. Simon, we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.